Forecast for today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-70s. The Racine Unified School Board will hold a public hearing at 6 o'clock tonight to seek approval from the state for less instruction time. The board going to be considering a waiver request from the Department of Public Instruction for 13 hours less in the classroom than the 1,137 hours currently required. This would apply to freshmen, sophomores, and seniors at Case Park and Horlick, also Walden 3, the Real School, and Racine Alternative Learning. The reason? To provide one day for juniors to take the ACT exam. Foxconn Technology Group reportedly close to leasing about Pleasant Industrial Building south of Highway 20 on Globe Drive. That's where it could start to assemble products before developing that $10 billion LCD screen manufacturing plant on land south of Highway 11. The Milwaukee Business Journal, citing real estate sources who speak on the condition of anonymity, has Foxconn deep in negotiations to lease the almost 156,000-square-foot spec building. It was completed last year by the Opus Group. Publication says that if the lease deal is completed, a substantial investment would also be made in assembly equipment and possibly what's known as a clean room. It's city right-of-way, but the Storino Funeral Home on Northwestern Avenue in Racine has been mowing the grass and has been asking to inquire about it and wanted to buy it. The utilities underneath, though, prevented that. An agreement has been reached, however, with the business to allow for an extension of the decorative fencing and landscaping, which would incorporate that additional space. But, of course, there's a cost involved. The Racine Public Works Committee heard about it recently. A revocable occupancy permit. That's what put the burden on the funeral home if any utility work had to be done once the fence was installed, according to Public Works Commissioner Mark Yellen.
Be able to provide the city water department, gas company, whoever you know might have need to work on those utilities on an emergency basis, free and open access to that.
Daryl Storino accepting the fact that utilities would need to gain the access to the site from his property.
If the fence is the issue, I say, okay, well, we might have to disturb. I'll take responsibility. Okay, I'll pay for the fence if it has to be removed, relocated, then so be it.
The strip of land is right next to Northwestern Avenue, which, of course, was reconstructed last year and realigned to make the nearby intersection more of a 90-degree angle. The irrevocable occupancy permit includes a $150 application fee. In the city of Kenosha, it's curbside waste collection. That program is starting today and is going to keep going through Saturday, November the 25th. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Kenosha processes yard waste into high-grade compost, which is available to city residents free of charge. The program has been in place for years and requires Kenosha residents to place their yard waste in city-approved biodegradable bags for curbside collection. Yard waste must be in these bags or it will not be picked up. The bags have to be at the curb line on the normally scheduled solid waste collection date, but separate from other materials. To encourage composting and help offset the cost of the biodegradable bags, the city of Kenosha offers a coupon for $2 off each bag of city-approved biodegradable yard waste bags. The coupons are available at the Public Works and the city clerk's offices in the municipal building, as well as the Kenosha Water Utility Building on Green Bay Road or on the city's website at kenosha.org. Today's start to Kenosha's curbside yard waste collection program corrects the wrong startup date of October 9th, published on the city's garbage yard waste recycling calendar. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Illinois Congressman Brad Schneider and U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth have introduced the Stranded Act. This would provide financial and economic assistance to Zion and other cities that are storing nuclear waste. The reason? The Zion Nuclear Power Plant, which closed in 1998, still storing over 1,000 metric tons of nuclear waste product on that lakefront property. Envisioning a Greater Racine has spent the last 10 months assembling information from local residents, putting it all together for what's being called the Great Reveal tomorrow during a 5 p.m. get-together at the Uptown Racine restaurant and night spot called The Branch at 1501 Washington Avenue. VGR President Tom Bueller says the last 3 months has involved staff going over thousands of ideas generated from the more than 40 public visioning events while seeking commonality. They've been grouped into categories, specific recommendations. It'll all be presented tomorrow evening. The Kenosha City Council at tonight's 7 o'clock meeting going to consider using tax incremental financing dollars to buy the former Barton's Department Store at 58th Street and 7th Avenue. Another acquisition, Mayor Andoramian says, will help cut down on deterioration and guide the city on its reuse. The building sold back in 2006 for $560,000. Tonight, it's going to be up for $200,000 minus the $3,000 in back taxes. City plans to make a few repairs, then aggressively market the building, where the walls and foundation are said to be in good shape. Also at tonight's Kenosha Council meeting, recommendations from both the Parks Board and Public Works Committee to reject the bids to renovate the bathrooms at Simmons Field, the lowest bid coming in at about $30,000 over the projected amount. The North Woods League committed $100,000 to the project to help improve the facilities for the Kenosha Kingfish, but would not go any higher. In Caledonia tonight, the Village Board's 7 o'clock meeting agenda has a number of action items on it, including a conditional use permit to construct a 24,000-square-foot building for Roland Machinery Company at the West Frontage Road and Highway K, approving the draft 2018 Village budget for a public hearing October the 23rd at 6 o'clock. Also, a status report on the former Western Publishing Company building and citizen concerns about trespassing and vandalism. Seville FlexPack Corporation is based in Oak Creek. It has been sold to the German firm Sudpack for an undisclosed price, BizTimes noting that its two adjoining facilities, totaling 205,000 square feet, will become Sudpack's first U.S. manufacturing facilities. Right now, state law caps the payout to anybody who has to spend time in prison for a crime they did not commit at $25,000, no more than $5,000 for each year of wrongful incarceration.
That's not adequate at all. I mean, somebody serves years in prison. I mean, it's taken their life from them, literally. So we're going to compensate them with that small amount. It's just not right.
That's State Senator Van Wongard, co-sponsor to a bill that passed the Assembly but failed in the Senate. It would increase the amount of possible compensation up to $50,000 per year of a wrongful incarceration with a $1 million cap. This is Cybersecurity Month, and given what's happened recently with major data breaches like Equifax, Todd Pritchard with Wisconsin Emergency Management says changing your passwords every once in a while really seems kind of a minor inconvenience compared to the hassle of having to fix a problem.
Once the cyber criminals get that one password, they look for everywhere else that you're shopping or every place else that you've gone to and try that password.
He says the threats are out there and you're better off being safe rather than sorry. Democratic 1st Congressional District candidate Randy Bryce claiming to have raised more than $1 million this fundraising period for his campaign to unseat House Speaker Paul Ryan next year. A news release says that in the past 3.5 months since he launched his campaign, Bryce has raised a total of nearly $1.5 million, and that the campaign will also be reporting more than $1 million cash in hand when the financial reports have to get filed later this month. The personal financial website WalletHub did a little in-depth analysis of the 2017 best and worst states for teachers. Wisconsin about in the middle of the pack, but last among the states in the Midwest. 50 states and the District of Columbia measured across 21 key metrics, things like teachers' income growth potential, the pupil-teacher ratio, to teacher safety. As a result, the best state for teachers, New York, then it's New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. In the Midwest, Minnesota, number 6, Ohio, 9th, Michigan, 12th, Indiana, 15th, Iowa, 18th, Wisconsin, number 21. And job seekers can connect with more than 30 area employers at Gateway Technical College's Fall Career and Internship Fair tomorrow, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the S.C. Johnson Student Life Center in the Lake Building on the Racine Gateway campus. You're asked to bring your resume and to dress appropriately. The fair is open to students, alumni, and to the public. The Racine Unified School District's math scores could be going up soon, thanks to ALEX. That's an acronym for Assessment and Learning in Knowledge Spaces, a research-based online math program. Chief Academic Officer Rosalie Daca telling the Board of Education recently, the one key element about this program is teacher computer access all the time. She said based on what Oak Creek did with ALEX the last 4 years, their math scores have risen, in her word, phenomenally.
Part of this is to bring in two coaches that work specifically with those eighth grade teachers. One of the things we heard from the teachers is, and that's the reason for the coaches, I need somebody that's here that can help me on a daily basis answer those questions that I don't know. So we do have a pilot going through middle school right now, but it's not all in eighth grade. This initiative will actually put it in all eighth grade while we're piloting in some sixth and seventh.
She also noted they brought the program to the high school algebra lab as a helping tool.
For a more focused, constructive way that our students can work on those algebra skills that they need, because it does span all of general math all the way through the higher level math classes. So the results that districts have got that we've looked at so far are very encouraging, and we expect that we're going to have the same kind of success with that.
Every classroom to have 10 computers, with the purchase being expedited to start improving the math scores right away. The regulation of short-term housing rentals in Wisconsin is being amended by a provision slipped into the new state budget that Governor Walker signed. It allows for stays of up to 7 days, but nothing longer. Shannon Hayden with the Walworth County Land Use and Resource Management Office says this is going to have a negative impact on their community, noting that the websites like Airbnb, well, short-term rentals, she said, really weren't much of a problem.
Mostly if you wanted to rent something, it was usually word of mouth, friends of friends. Maybe you put an ad in the paper. Maybe there was a property manager or somebody was really engaged with who was staying in the home. And now all of these transactions can happen simply with credit cards. The owners never have to even meet the people. And so what was starting to happen is, you know, a parent rents the house for post-prom, and now there's 50 kids with kegs out front.
It's a big enough problem in Walworth County that they hire a part-time investigator every summer just to handle complaints. Hayden adding the county officials are going to have to figure out what to do next. The Water Council, based in Milwaukee, accepting applications for the third round of a water quality pilot program designed to transfer research and prototypes out of the laboratory into the application field, a demonstration site yet to be picked somewhere in Wisconsin. The council program is supported by the Fund for Lake Michigan, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewage District, and Wells Fargo. More information is online along with the application process, www.globalwaterport.com/pilot program. The deadline for the applications, November the 11th. Right now, as it stands, the villages of Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant, and Caledonia each pay a certain dollar figure to have bus service for what is now called RIDE, but still known as the Bell Urban System. Only the city's Transit and Parking Commission, though, holds required public hearings. Any major service change that's proposed, really, the other communities should be doing that as well. That's according to Transit System Manager Mike Meyerly. He talked to the transit panel about it, said that if any one of them, the communities, had a significant change in service that they wanted, or they just wanted to drop it altogether, they really ought to be holding public hearings.
If we're really partners, then I'm kind of staff to them. And that's what's kind of interesting, you know. They don't feel like I'm staff. You know, they're a little frustrated. Folks in Sturtevant are a little frustrated because there's some guy who has his office, you know, miles to the east who comes out once a year and talks to us. I need to try to warm that up a little more and say, you know, we're really interested in working with you on what those needs are, where those buses ought to run.
The Transit and Parking Commission supporting Meyerly going out to each of the municipalities in November on the 2018 bus service. Be aware that I-43 in Milwaukee County, you'll probably see more sheriff's deputies on patrol. Acting Sheriff Richard Schmidt says the thuggish shootings that occurred last week is the reason for that. His department looking for one individual for the shooting of a man last Friday near I-43 in Capitol. Also an investigation near the Marquette Interchange and another shooting scenario around Walnut Street. Police in Racine, meanwhile, still seeking the offender in a Sunday shooting from the 1100 block of Blake Avenue. That victim taken to Ascension All Saints Emergency in critical condition. A police department news release says they're also still asking the public for any information to help find that shooter. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.